you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Can you bring me down just a little bit? Okay, thank you. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. I want to share with you over the next couple of weeks just a title of this next 2 weeks. It's the call and fall and restoration of God's redeemed. And we're going to be looking at the life of Peter over the next couple of weeks, how he was called, how he just raised to just this great spokesman for Christ, even as a disciple, but wasn't perfect and denied the Lord 3 times, and then how God restored him. And the reason why I want to share this with you is because there's some of us in this place that have fallen in the past, know that we've been called, know that God's got more for us, know that the life of God is about an abundant life in Christ. It's about living for Him, finding life in Him and nothing else. Most of us in here know that there's no life in anything else but Him. Must be first. We must love Him most. I think about this because I think not only has God designed us to be witnesses, to reflect His goodness and His glory, and to live this great life of purpose, which is a call to influence others for Christ. To be an influence. The Bible calls us light. He calls us the salt of the earth, light of the world, right? Light of the world gives light, salt just, man, it's just a great source of life. When I think about salt, I think about I don't know if you know this, but the word salary comes from the word salt. Your body needs it. You die without it. And we're the salt of the earth. Salt in those days would retard rot on meat and food. And then salt would season things. But folks, salt is an element of life. And you're an element of life in Christ. To give influence, to season some people's lives who are really boring. You know, I mean, I'm just telling you that God has designed for you from the very beginning of your existence, the very beginning of the foundation of the world before you were conceived. God had a plan. And I want to ask you, church, are you living according to the plan of God? Or are you doing life your way? God's way, your way. And God's way always begins with the call. It comes from a call from heaven, a call from the Lord. Just like we shared with you just a few minutes ago about just those who've given their lives to Christ, who found in this one moment of their life this past week that God comes to save us. And it's He who saves us. It's just we believe that He has saved us. Amen. That's why you can't earn it. It's nothing you can do. So what you could not do, God did by sending Jesus to die on the cross, to shed His blood, which we just sang of, and to be what He says, the atonement for our sins, dying in our place. Now this call in Peter's life is a beginning call. Jesus has not gone to the cross yet. The blood has not been poured out. But there's principles in this call that I want to just bring you to. There's a story in this message that is familiar to some of you, but I think the last time I used the story was like 2023, and so probably a ton of you have not heard this, and maybe you even weren't there that day. But I'm telling you that this call to Peter is timeless. There's elements of the salvation call in your life that we see here. And the question is that when you hear this message today, will you in this moment, if you haven't already, by the admonition of your pastor, to put your yes on the altar right now? So if God taps you on the shoulder sometime during this message, that's already settled. There's no wishy-washy about it. I hear God. I know what God's telling me to do. I know what God is saying about my life. And I'm going to head out of this place to do that by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of His Holy Spirit. So I want you to notice the story. Chapter 5, verse 1. It happened that while the crowd was pressing around Him and listening to the Word of God, He was standing by the Sea of Galilee.
And he, Jesus, saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and he began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night, caught nothing. But at your word," I'm going to read this literally, "but at your word, I will let down the net." Very, very important. At your word. When I look at this passage of Scripture and I think, here is something that God's asking this fisherman to do, who makes a living by fishing, whose money or whose life depends on it. He's not some poor guy, okay? He owns boats. He's in business. Okay? He's a businessman. He's fished this lake all his life. They have fished all night. They've caught nothing. And in his mind, must be, I mean, I'm not a fisherman by trade, but I would think that to go one more time after washing nets just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense at all. How in the world are we going to justify this, of trawling this net across the sea and coming back with a few fish? We're bone tired. We have fished all night. We're ready to go home. We're ready to take the bath. We're ready to move to the bed because it's been an all-night experience with nothing to show for. Doesn't make sense. And that's like the call of God. In so many ways, it doesn't make sense to the flesh. It doesn't make sense to the world. It doesn't make sense that you're saved by faith. Just like we've talked about it, while Jada talked about it, we sang about it. You can't earn it. That doesn't make sense. That's why you've got a plethora of religions that are trying to earn. People are trying to earn their salvation. So when it comes to a simple faith in the gospel story, that doesn't make sense to the flesh. Because it just seems like an impossibility. Doesn't make sense. To cast down, to throw the net. But I love what Peter says. We've worked hard all night. We have caught nothing. But at your word, I will do what you say. What you say, what I hear you saying, doesn't make sense. But I'll do what you say. Now, you got to remember, there's a huge crowd around. Matter of fact, the crowd is so big that Jesus had to get on a boat, that same boat, and preach from the water, so that everybody could hear him, so everybody could see him. There's a huge crowd here, and they're hearing what Jesus is asking of Simon Peter and his partners. Let down your net for a catch. That's a word. It's a word that might seem impossible to him, but it's a word of God that when God says it, he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Amen. All right? At your word, I'll do it. What you say is what I will do. Let down your nets for a catch. Now, when you look at the word, it's the word in the New Testament. It's the rhema, it's the principle to apply, the command to obey, the word to believe, to heed. It's that fresh revelation from the word that meets you right where you are. But sometimes that word says, get up, do this, or sit down, stop doing this. At your word. It's a very powerful, powerful word. In the Greek New Testament, there's two words. Logos, that's the whole counsel of God. Matter of fact, God calls Jesus the Logos, the Word. And there's this specific word, and this is the word that's being used. At your word to me right now, I will do what you say. Matthew 4:4 uses the same word. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Matthew 26:75, what we'll be looking at here next week. Peter remembers the very specific word which Jesus had said, spoken, a rooster crow. Before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. It's the same thing that Mary said when the angel of the Lord gave her this impossible promise that she would have a baby who would be the Son of God, that would be God Himself through no human means. It's the virgin birth. She says, how will this be? I'm a virgin. And He says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And what does Mary say? Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done according to your word, to your rhema. And then the angel departed from her. And then it's Romans 10:8. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing that word from God. A specific word. A word that you respond to when you come to Jesus. It's a word you respond to when God's correcting you. It's a word you respond to when He speaks to you again to get rid of that addiction, to get rid of that pornography, to get rid of that nicotine, to get rid of that alcohol, to get rid of these things in your life that is controlling you. It's the word of God to every one of us, and it comes straight out of the Logos, comes straight out of the word. But to him it doesn't make sense, but at your word I'll do it. You know, the gospel, so many ways in Scripture, there's things that happen in the gospel that don't make sense. Just don't. Let me give you a sketch of them. In Acts, Philip is asked to leave a prospering ministry to go down to a desert road. And that's a desert road, and they say that's an intersection where there's nothing there. He's got to walk 70 miles to it. There's nothing there. Nothing, not one thing. Wouldn't make sense to this evangelist. You're asking me to go down there? Listen, I'm looking at human things. I'm looking at with human mind and flesh mind, and it doesn't make sense to go down. But he obeys God. He obeys the Lord. He obeys the voice of Jesus, the voice of the Spirit. Go down to the desert road. And he walks 70 miles. Philip's not sent to Ethiopia. Ethiopia was sent to him. Finds this Ethiopian eunuch in the court of Candace, a very prosperous and influential place as the treasurer of the kingdom. He's reading Isaiah, and the Spirit says, go up. He says, hey, what are you reading there? I'm reading about some guy. Isaiah, who's pierced for my sins, carries his sins upon him. And he says, who is this? Is he talking about himself or somebody else? And Philip says, he's talking about Jesus. It's Jesus, God on the cross. And he preaches, he comes to Christ, he gets baptized, and as soon as he comes out of the water, poof, Philip disappears, lands in another place, and just keeps on proclaiming the gospel. Doesn't make sense. Go there, go to that place, go to the place where there nobody is, but there's someone so influential that, folks, let me tell you, there's a church in Ethiopia who say, we found our roots with that Ethiopian eunuch 2,000 years later. It didn't make sense, did it? Not to me. Not to me at all. Abraham, leave your home. Go to the place I'm going to show you. You'll find the promised land. Noah, build an ark of gopher wood in a place that you've never seen rain. And you'll find salvation. Joshua, march around Jericho one more time. You'll find conquest. Moses, take the staff and cry, let my people go, and find Egypt as a mere history. Peter, let down your nets for the catch. You find Jesus. Christians, believers, the God who unconditionally loved us while sinners and enemies of Jesus. Nothing to do to earn our salvation. It does not make sense. And there's often times that he calls us to do things that just, I don't want to just say make sense, it's just inconvenient. That's kind of inconvenient to walk 75 miles. It's kind of inconvenient to build an ark for 100 years at these dimensions. I mean, it's just inconvenience to the flesh. I have a story from my young adulthood. My dad was a plumber by trade. And when he first started in the early 60s, he had a plumber's helper named Eddie. And Eddie's mom was friends with my dad's mom, and my dad mentored him in plumbing. And then one day, Eddie found his own thing and went and, you know, just started his own thing, which was a great thing. And a number of years later, I'm talking 30 years later, my dad came back into Eddie's life. And my dad started sharing faith with him. And he just, sharing the gospel with him, sharing the good news of Jesus, telling Eddie, this is how you find life. And the way you're living right now, you're not finding life. Well, back in those days, we, my dad and I and my brother, and we would go backpacking in the Smoky Mountains, spend a little time on the Appalachian Trail, go into North Carolina, down to a lake, spend the night on streams, a couple of nights, and 1 year Eddie went. Jeremy was 10. Jess Little went with us, who was once pastor of Lingleville years ago. And we witnessed to Eddie Lansing. And Eddie did not come to the Lord. Always had a yeah, but I'm good. But I'm going to tell you, in God's kingdom, there are no yeah buts. There are none. And if you're struggling with a gospel message and you got a yeah but, you need to get to the Word instead of what the Word says. But that was his lot. Yeah but, yeah but. Well, several months later, he came down with stage 4 lung cancer. And my dad calls me up and he says, hey, Eddie is dying. Will you come share faith with him one more time? Now, I got to make a confession. Okay? Why me? You've been sharing with him. Jeff, he lives in Lafayette, Louisiana. That's just an hour and a half away. And you're asking me, I'm not telling him this, gosh, please tell me, but this is, you know, I'm not sinning with my mouth yet, okay, but I'm a sinning in my mind, okay? And, of course, I couldn't say no to my dad. So, got the two oldest, put them in the car to go see Nana, got to New Orleans, got in the car, went to the hospital, and Eddie is in the bed, breathing hard, shirt off, in a perfectly temperatured room. And he's got an image or a picture of the Lord. And all of a sudden he starts talking. And he says, Mike, not me, my dad's Mike. Jesus is in the room right now. And he's talking to me. Really, Eddie, what is he telling you? He's telling me that he loves me. He's telling me that he died for me. Something that I've heard all my life and I'm hearing today. And Mike, you know the kind of man I've been. And he's telling me that he died for me and that if I would believe that and give my life to him, that he'll save me. And he'll pull me out. And you know, my dad says, yeah, Eddie, that's what I've been trying to tell you. And I said, Dad, shut up. Don't say another word. Because I'm sure not. And he says, today I believe what he did for me. And Mike, he's coming into my life right now. And I'm going to live for him. And I'm going to follow him because he's forgiving me right now for all the junk that I've ever done in my life. that's so incredible to me that I'm watching this unfold in something that I would have missed because it didn't make sense. God's at work right now, right here, before my very eyes. Well, he's got a brother. Brother's named Larry. Larry's over by the air conditioner. And at some point, he says, "Larry, come over here." I'm going to say it in New Orleans, okay? "Larry, come over here," right? He said, "Look at me." He said, "You know the kind of men we've been. We've cheated people. We've done our drugs. We've gone into prostitutes. And we thought we were having a great time. But I'm telling you right now, all that stuff is nothing but BS compared to knowing what I know now." And I went, he didn't say BS. And I thought, I don't know if I like the way he said that. And then I thought, that's what Paul said. Yeah. It was all dung. And he didn't say it in the ninth word. Sorry. It's all dung compared to knowing him. Pretty soon, pastor comes in and says, "How you doing, Eddie?" He said, "Man, I'm on my way." He said, "Of course you're on your way. You've been on your way ever since you were a baby and we baptized you." He said, "No, I'm on my way today because God's transforming me." Testimony, testimony of a deathbed confession that didn't need me there except to witness it. I didn't need to be there for him. I needed to be there for me, for my dad. Later on, we came up to the hospital, and he was up in the up in another section, and walk in, and the room is packed with his son and his daughter-in-law and his baby and Larry and Larry's family, which was more than his family, and it was just packed. And on one hand, he was holding was his ex-wife, and the other hand was the mistress that he'd been living with in that very season of his life, holding his hand. And I'm gonna tell you, talk about walking into something that is just incredible and just can feel kind of uncomfortable in the moment. And this is what he says. He says, "Hey, family, I got to talk to you. You know the kind of man I've been all my life. I've said awful things to you. I've been mean. I've been angry. I've walked in bitterness. I've been an adulterer, fornicator, drug user, thief. Not a good man. And you know it. And I'm so glad you're here. But today, God met me. Jesus saved me. And I put my faith in him. And now Mike Jr. is going to tell you all about it. And I preached the gospel." And I walked out of there saying, "God, I don't ever, ever want to say no to you, even if it doesn't make sense." You know, there's biblical things that don't make sense. That God asks you to do. Peter lets down his net for a catch. And I want you to notice what it says. When they'd done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But then when Simon Peter saw... That's the literal. When he saw, not that, that's just italicized, that's a translator's prerogative, and he saw that, but what did he see? He saw Jesus. Listen, he's seen him before. Matter of fact, he called him master, which is, it's not like, it's like a supervisor, it's like a rabbi, a teacher, a leader. But now he sees him as watch, Lord. Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. In that moment, because of his obedience, he was caught up in the midst of the holiness of God in the flesh. He saw it. And well, let me tell you, sis, I know that people, they want to see Jesus, but they want to see the friendly guy. They want to see the guy that's going to give them a warm fuzzy. And he's got no warm fuzzy here. He sees the living God in the flesh and he falls to his knees undone because he sees in the midst of who he is, who Jesus is, who he really is and really is not. I am a sinful man, O Lord. When God asks you to do something, it doesn't make sense, just do it. Especially when it, I'm talking especially when it has to do with the gospel, the good news of Jesus. That's what we're talking about. And the response was so powerful to him that he saw the holiness of God. And I want to ask the question today, have you seen Jesus? Have you seen him? In those initial days of seeing Jesus, were you undone because of your own sinfulness? Did you see how lost you were? Did you see how rotten you were? Because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. I don't know how we get this, is that we can say that somebody's a good guy. Yeah, they're friendly and all that. But they're lost. If you don't know you're lost, you can never get saved. Without Christ, you're lost. And there's nothing else that can save you but Jesus. Culture can't do it. New Age can't do it. Muslim can't do it. Hindu can't do it. Buddhist can't do it. Only Jesus can do it because he's the only way. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And I want to ask this first, because what has God asked you to believe initially? He's asked you to believe the impossible, and the impossible is that you can be saved and set free from the power of sin. Amen. That's what you believe. It's not just about getting your ticket punched, not just about saying, I accept Jesus into my heart. And listen, youth, if that's all you heard this week, you didn't hear the whole gospel. He saves you from something unto something. You come out of the grave having been dead in your trespasses and sin, and now you are alive in Christ. And you move immediately to Christ's likeness to become more like him daily. And yeah, there's those seasons like Peter's going to have, like we're going to see next week, that we mess up and that we fall. And we go into these seasons. How many of you had seasons like that? Just raise your hand. Yeah. Where you just fell away. Did Jesus come back to get you? Why? Because you're the lost sheep and you're his. That's the confidence we have. It's the confidence that we have. But I'm going to tell you this. If you've never had a godly sorrow over your sin, over your darkness, over your junk, over your stuff, and you just kind of just prayed a prayer without a godly sorrow, I would ask you to circle back and ask God, oh God, Do I really know you? Have I really come to you? He's undone. He is undone. And the confession is powerful because he's saying, Lord, I'm a sinful man. You got to go away because I don't think there's anything I can do which is right to find you in that and for me to be in the position that you're in. Got it right. There's no way to find rightness without him. So what does he say? Hey, oh Lord, you're Lord, I'm a sinful man. Depart from me, go away from me. I can't stand this, and I just got this feeling that you can't stand me. And I think about that. Peter is undone. I got to tell you, I was humbled that day in New Orleans. As we headed back to my parents' home, I had to confess my selfishness, my laziness, my aversion to inconvenience as I was stunned by the salvation of Eddie Lansing. I was stunned not by the salvation of Eddie Lansing, but by the Savior of Eddie Lansing. Because there's no way that man could say what he said without God speaking to him. Now, I know my dad shared a whole bunch with him. He shared a whole bunch of the word. And maybe that had some things about it. I don't know. But I'm telling you, I'm going to give you some big words that we learned in seminary. I heard justification. was justified. I heard faith in Christ alone. I heard sanctification, that I'm going to live with him forever. I saw a salvation that began to say, I'm going to tell everybody, I want to tell about what God has done to me. I saw a man come out of the pit, put on the rock, out of the darkness, into the light, right in that moment. How could I want to say no to God? Why would I want to say no to him and miss what God has for us? And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, and you've never turned your life to him, and you never felt that he saved you, and he's calling you today to believe that what he did 2,000 years ago, he did just for you, don't resist him. Say yes right now. Say yes right now. And watch God work as you walk in a humility that says, I need you. I need your grace. That's what Peter's really saying. It's just this humility where he is undone in the holiness of God. And what happens is that he humbles himself and he says it. He says, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be a man under your authority. I'm a sinful man. And in this powerful confession, God came and gave him grace. And it brought forgiveness. It brought justification. It brought a new life in that moment. In his fear, in his undoneness, Jesus says, do not fear. Now watch this. Do not fear. Verse 10, from now on, you will be catching men. This fishing stuff, done. Yep, it's done. Sorry, but your dad and John's dad, James John, they're going to have to go back to do it by themselves. And all the little helpers, all the hands, all the boat hands. I got something special for you. The Bible says, and watch this. When they got to shore, they left everything. And they followed him. This is the call of God. It's a call of faith that produces an obedience to our great God that changes our life and becomes the most significant day of our life. He had the biggest catch of his life, right? He's pulling up that fish. He's not thinking money. He's not thinking a successful day. He's not thinking, well, look what we're doing here. Oh, we got to the right place finally. No, he's undone because Jesus is in the boat. And then when Jesus is in your boat for the very first time and you don't see the holiness of God, you've not seen Jesus. Because when you see Jesus, you'll be undone and God will pick you up. Jesus will pick you up in that undoneness and in that fear, and he will put you on the road that leads to life and influence for the rest of your life. So the question is, why would I ever want to get off that? Why would I ever want to go and chase after something that brought misery and brought heartache and brought junk and brought stuff? Why would I go back to the world that promised me happiness? But all I got was misery, pain, separation, loss, and brought devastation because of my decisions. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? I look at my life. I look at our church. And back in 1999, a little bitty church, well, I say not too little anymore, but about 200 people, said yes to something that didn't make sense. We said yes to the glory of God to the ends of the earth. Didn't make sense. Hey, I'm going to change my mind. Everybody look at me. Sorry about that. Okay. I got to tell you this. When we felt like God was asking us to pursue the glory of God to the ends of the earth, to this people group called the Hani, I had people, and especially one person, and that person's not here, so I can say this, okay? Because if he was still here, we'd already have a discussion. He said, hey, if we do this, if we go to China we're going to neglect home. And I said, bro, if God says to go to China and we don't go, we'll neglect home. I mean, we just saw 90 people go to camp. We saw God fill up after that. That saying yes to him when it didn't make sense to drop our nets in China. We exploded with people who were hungry for the things of God. Hungry to move with him. And that's most of you, hungry to move on with God. And I want to know, are you still hungry to move on with God? Do you want this relationship with him by which you'll go and you'll do whatever God asks you to do? Whether it's on this church property, whether it's a mission trip, whether it's a surrender, whether it's stepping up in your service, where it's stepping up in your witness on the platform that God's given you, things that God has asked you to do that you've not done out of fear. And so here's something that I've been saying since I was 27 years in this pulpit. What's the last thing God asked you to do that you have not done? Let that sink in right now. And whatever came to your mind just now, I'm challenging you to get up and go do it. Now let me tell you about getting up and go doing it. Sometimes getting up and go doing it is a process. So you pull out your phone, you call your pastor, call an elder, call somebody that you trust, and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. And I feel like God's asking me to do this, or he's asking me to stop what I'm doing and quit doing things that bring destruction to my life. And I need help. I know people don't have this terminology, but it's like they're saying, will you love me to the place I need to be? Will you love me to the place? Not judge me to the place. Not stick your finger in my face to the place, but to love me to the place God wants me to be. Am I willing to abandon my fear, which is me leaving the fish at the side, to move towards God? Is it having the boldness enough to believe what I've not been believing? Because it just doesn't make sense. And this is the reason why it doesn't make sense to us is because you've got a finite mind and not an infinite mind. You don't have the mind of Christ yet that God gives you when you come to Jesus. And so I want to ask you, has this been typical in your life? You meet Jesus, you're undone because you know that you're lost, you know that you're unsaved, you know that you're a sinful man, a sinful woman, and you mourn over it. And you hear the message and you believe, they saved me. And then as I walk in life, the Bible says, as you've received him, so walk in me. And so how I received him, how did I receive him? I heard the word, I believed the word, and I followed the word. He heard the Logos, he believed the Logos, followed the Logos. And he heard the specific word that the Logos had for him. And I'm going to tell you this, it's really important. It's why you want to be in your Bible every day. Because God wants to give you this revelation from Scripture that takes it from then to now, where you're hearing just like Peter heard in the boat. Watch this. Face to face, he saw, and it changed his life. Okay, now bow your head again. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for this grand, grand notion of God that's called salvation. That he plucked us out of where we were, revealed himself to us, and we believed him. And we went after you. I want to ask, Lord, is there anybody in this place that's not running after you? That just church is just something I do. It's just a piece that makes me feel good. It's just a peace that I get to come and Mike gets to step on my toes, and that's my discipline. Lord, I just want to say to this church, you've been made for so much more. You haven't been made to tend the grave. It's what you're not made for. What's the grave? Anger, unforgiveness, lust, all the things that Eddie said he was. That's the grave. He created you for so much more. And we have this example in Peter, who you're going to see after the call messes up a bunch. Denies him 3 times. And yet 3 years later, he'll find himself in the boat, in the lake. Not seeing Jesus, but hearing Jesus. And that's the beauty of the Christian life. You see him and you hear him. And oh, church, how I desire for us to see and to hear and to do what God's called us to do by faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father God, I thank you for this great, great word that we find today in Luke chapter 5 that's so transforming. And I just ask, Lord, that we'd grab it today, that we'd handle it today, that we'd believe it today, and that we'd walk in agreement with it today, so that we could go from this place changed in the twinkling of an eye, changed, transformed. Lord, I pray for those that struggle with things they've not laid down yet. I pray today would be the day they lay it down. I know I've mentioned Jade a couple times, but here she has, as a girl, dreams to have a jewelry shop, to have a business, to be an ag teacher, to be all these things. And what did she tell us today? She dropped them today to pursue what God has for them. And God might have said, hey, no, I want you to be a jewelry. I want you to be an ag teacher. I want you to do those things. And she would have said yes to that. But she was willing to lay down her dreams, her visions, to pursue God the way God was speaking to her. And I want to ask you, church, is God speaking to you? And if he is, what is he speaking to you about? What do I have to do that doesn't make sense, that lets down my net for a catch, sees the holiness of God, is picked up by the Lord and put on the road that leads to life, takes him just as he is? It's time to stop saying no to God and start saying yes to him. It's time to be free from fear, worry, anxiety, and stress of what that might look like. I grew up fearing that God was going to call him to China. Well, if you're fearing God calling you to China, you're in the wrong church. Because we're all called to China. God wants to do this work, folks. Would you let him today? Will you let him? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that your Holy Spirit would take this message, that it would digest into our soul, that God, you'd speak to us through it, that we take the notes. If they want the pulpit notes, I'll give them my notes. But God, I'm asking in your name that you would light a fire in us to just hear you and do what you've called us to do, knowing, Lord, that you're going to send your Spirit and it's going to sustain us for the rest of our life. That's what we believe. And yet we have those seasons that you come and redeem us. We look forward to that, Lord, to talk about that next week. God, we love you, we bless you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.